You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Have you ever hosted an event in your salon? Larissa here from the Salon Owners Collective, and in any career, continuing education in your chosen industry is vital to your growth. Now, this could be attending seminars or events or listening to podcasts, just saying. But what's more important than only encouraging your team to be engaged in the industry is being an active part of your business. And a great way to do this is hosting events. Now, in this episode, I'm chatting with Kate Reed. Kate's hair journey has taken her to amazing heights, from Australia to the US, where she works as global director for Kevin Murphy's range, Colour Me. Now, Kate is super passionate about education. You can really tell that when you listen to this episode and the salon industry. And today she's telling us all about why we should be too. There are so many opportunities to connect with clients on social media, but it doesn't mean that online and in the chair are the only real chances that you have to talk and connect with them. She explains how putting on events can actually help you connect with your clients and your team, in fact, in a way that's more personal for both your clients and is more involving for your team. Kate will talk you through the process of planning a successful event and tell you how to delegate more and more to your team, and of course, why this is so essential. All right, let's jump in and chat with Kate. Kate, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Pleased to have you.
Oh, thank you. It's such a privilege to be on today.
So, for those that don't know you, why don't you tell us where you are in the world and what do you do and how did you get to be doing just that?
Oh, yeah. It's been actually a really crazy ride. I'm in Los Angeles. I've been living in the US for the past 5.5 years, and I'm the global color director for Kevin Murphy, Colour Me. So, I started in the industry 22 years ago. And I started in really beautiful salons. And then from there, I went to work in education because I always found it so rewarding and absolutely loved it. So I went to work for Wella Professionals and I stayed with them for just over 10 years. I started off as a color educator and then I moved into key accounts and then I went to manage Sebastian. Then after Sebastian, I went to work as the creative director across Wella and Sebastian. So I was on the Asia Pacific team and the global influence team when I worked at Wella. And it was an amazing opportunity. And then probably around 5.5 years ago, I was looking at moving to the US. And I was connected with Kevin Murphy. And at the time, he was just about to launch his color brand. And they were looking for an education director to put together the launch for North America and roll it out globally. And at that point, I joined the team. And it's just really blown up since then. So now we've launched in the last 4.5 years. And just in North America, we have 130 part-time educators and 11 full-time. And, you know, crazy enough, only 4.5 years ago, it was just me. And we had one other person in Europe called Michael Jung. And so it's been this absolutely crazy ride. And so now I work across product development. I do all of our color campaign shoots, all of our go-to-market curriculum for our education brand, including digital strategy and also online learning. So it's, yeah, that's where I am today. And the career is sort of branched off in lots of different avenues over the 22 years.
It's amazing. That is quite a wide job role, covering quite a wide span of the earth. That's amazing.
Yeah, it has been. It's been probably the last 4.5 years since being in America. I'm actually moving back to Australia in 2 months, which I'm very excited about. It'll be a little bit more flying, but it'll be really beautiful to be back home now that the brand set up over pretty much globally.
Yeah. And is that a move to come back and be amongst family?
Yeah, it is. And just, you know, at some point you should go home.
For sure. So a lot of what you do is creating events, preparing education. This is your world. And I really wanted to come and bring you on the podcast to talk about exactly that and give our salon owners and stylists some insight into how, or just so they can learn from your knowledge around creating events and putting together education. So tell us a little bit, like, why should salon owners and stylists think about putting on events?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And to be honest, we work, and I've worked across events for 5,000 people, so huge events, and, you know, as a platform artist, and down to small events, which we have only, you know, 15 people who attend. And, you know, what I've learned over the years is it's not necessarily the size of the audience that attend doesn't necessarily replicate the, you know, the impact of the event. So if you're putting together an event, whether you're a salon owner, an educator, you know, there's certain things that you really need to understand when you're putting together the event and what you want out of it, because, you know, understanding those outcomes is, I think, one of the biggest things. So planning successfully and just knowing what you want to achieve by doing the event. And so there's so many different reasons, but, you know, there's three sort of things I always look at is, you know, planning and preparations, everything, choosing your team to bring it to life. And then always, like, how does it fit your culture and your brand, and how do you stay true to that while you execute those events? And, you know, if it's for inspiration for the stylist or the client, will it create like brand connection and loyalty? Building a business, and is it going to help to build new clients, new services? We worked for, you know, this year we launched an education collection where we worked on, you know, as the concept filters, and to have a filter over hair. We look now today at social media and platforms that everyone takes a picture of themselves and they put a filter on everything. So we really worked with creating, say you did a red hair color, you'd put like a blue filter over the top of it to create a cooler red, and you'd do that by applying a toner. And we found the durability of the color was so much more. But for men, you know, you could create more masculine or feminine colors, same as women, by using these types of filter services. So for me, there's so many different things you can break down. And then also, if you're a salon owner, one of those other things with events, and I'm just sort of quickly going through, you know, a lot of broad things here, is, you know, in the day and age we live in with social media, how are those clients connected to our business? So by coming in and having an event, whether it's a small event just for your own clients, how is the follow on then on Facebook and Instagram, and how do we connect with them while they're not in our salon to feel more a part of the business rather than, you know, connected to that stylist, which we find so much happens. A stylist leaves and a salon owner goes broke or loses a huge part of their business because, you know, they were relying on the individual. So I think really helping to create connections is a really big one.
Okay. So the proposition could be that you create a color collection, maybe it's a new seasonal launch of a new look that you're putting in, training your team, and you want to launch this to your clients, and you would put on an evening. And what you're saying about social media is then that you would use that footage, or even, like, I'm even thinking you could stream it live from the clients that can't turn up live, and make sure you're reusing that footage and that knowledge and that expertise that you've put into that event.
Yeah, because I feel like absolutely. And today, you know, we work in such a three-dimensional world. So from one event, you could have one look where you've curled it and you're showing a client after the event how to tong the hair, how to put product in to create heat protection so your color lasts longer. And you would break it down into sort of content that would then flow off that event to keep that constant connection to those clients and, you know, give the clients a reason to come back. And if they couldn't get in with you today, they might come and see me because, you know, they saw the collection, they loved it. I did a how-to and they saw it. So they feel like they want to come and see me now. So, so many opportunities, which I think we probably don't maximize today. Hairdressers are so busy behind the chair. But we probably just, you know, need to allocate that little bit more time. And even if it's when a client comes in during the day to take a before and after, you know, those basic things that help to keep growing your business as well.
I'm actually really excited about this, Kate, because one of the biggest challenges, or one of the things that, or the complaints that I hear the most is, I know I need to do social media, but I just don't have time. Whereas if you can batch it, like I think about in my own business when I'm creating content or even doing podcasts, or I create a dedicated amount of time to be able to do all the content. I'm focused and I'm just doing that one thing. I'm not trying to squeeze in and amongst everything else. So you can use events in the same way. You're doing an event live to your clients, but in fact, the backstory to that is that you're batching content, you're videoing and taking photos of all of those creations and getting it done and the how-to of the curls and the step-by-step, and you could come out with a couple of months of content done.
Oh, easy. And that's the thing, there's so many things that we take for granted that people want to know. And you know, we wash hair and we don't talk about the products that we use, we color hair and we don't talk about how to maintain it at home or how to keep that longevity. And you know, the biggest thing that fades our colors when our clients go away is not maintaining the hair properly, not washing it properly, not protecting from those heating tools and elements. And you know, there's so much that we can constantly share with our clients to help to maintain, obviously create better hair services as well at home. And I just think, you know, if we thought through each of those steps, we could just create such better content. And most clients don't want to see a professional video. They want it something that they can relate to, and they're excited to see you as the stylist or the colorist creating that content. So, you know, never think that you need expensive cameras. And you know, today, even with a ring light, you can create such good lighting in the salon. I really think, you know, $100 ring light is, you know, it's everything when you own a business, and setting up that spot, because you take a picture of a client, they feel special, it gets posted on, you know, your salon Instagram, they want to share it with their friends, all of a sudden they're sharing their new color with, you know, five friends, and you might pick up extra clients. So, you know, social media today, as much as people can't be bothered, it's critical in running successful businesses.
Yeah, I think we've moved from, oh, I should do that, it's nice to do that, like this is now moved into the do or die. This is normal business now to need to add this into your workflow.
Yeah, and just 5 minutes at the end of every cut, color, blow dry, whatever it is, to just get that quick picture.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, I'm really excited about this, because also not only events for client-facing events, but actually this could transform your training events. Like I remember as a salon owner, it was hard work to get my team to turn up to a training event. There's always those that are in, you know, in like Flynn, but then there's a few that are stragglers that don't, you know, to get everybody there in one night was hard work, right? But if you actually make it an event that now has a new purpose, a new meaning, and you're batching content for, not only are you training, but you're now recording and videoing and creating forward content, that puts a whole new spin on it, that surely you're going to get a higher engagement.
From your team, I think, as well, because it's that 5 minutes of fame. And you know, those hairdressers today that don't have busy columns are the hairdressers that aren't engaged in that type of social sort of forums. And you know, for anyone who wants to make more money, you know, it's the ultimate, it's so necessary. And you know, we're finding as well, young hairdressers, maybe they don't want more money, but if they hit a certain percentage of services, they want an extra day off. So it's how to engage with those people, how to connect with them, how to push it out to your clients, to the stylists, you know, that everyone's happier and, you know, your environment's flourishing.
Yeah. Yeah. And your team is engaged.
Absolutely. Because that's the tricky part today. You know, I don't know that what drove us when we were younger is the same anymore. So really having a look at who are those people in the business and what is making them sort of tick.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's talk a little bit about planning, whether it's a client-facing event or whether it's a training event, an internal event for your team. What are the kind of things that we need to consider to put an event on? Because sometimes to look forward and to face planning an event, if you're not used to doing that, could feel very daunting. So let's break it down super simple. What, give us a couple of step-by-steps. Yeah. Pre-planning, what should we think about?
So the biggest thing to start with is obviously who's coming and what's the point of this event. So what do we want to achieve out of it? So if we did an event, I work at Kevin Murphy, are we gaining new salon accounts? Are we inspiring our hairdressers to be more connected with our color? Do we want to teach them about a new product so they can create new services in the salon? What exactly is it that we want to achieve out of this event? And I would get really clear about that before you actually even move forward at all, because often people want to put on an event. They want everyone to come and to feel good, but they don't actually know what the outcome is, which mm-hmm. is quite scary. So that would be my first tip. Really think long and hard about what your objective is. And then, once you've got that, you know, you can start to prep and plan that event properly. And so who are those people that you need to help to bring it to life? What's everyone's strength in the team? And who can you utilize that would be excited to be a part of, you know, your event? And then also one of the biggest things for me is how do you make this event fit your culture and brand? So for us at Kevin Murphy, everything we do fits into three categories. So there's always the fashion element. So it needs to look cool and fashionable and, you know, off the runway. The next part is performance. So everything we do needs to perform, whether it's lightening hair, you know, perfectly, toning well, you know, using a product, it needs to work. And then the third part is for us, it's the choices that we make. So it's always including environmental choices. So whether we're about to go into ocean waste plastic, whether when we launch Colour Me, the boxes were 100% recyclable. What is it? We're PETA approved, we're sulfate free, we're PPD free. So all of those key things weave into everything that we do to really strengthen that whole brand and picture of that event. So be really clear about what is your business culture and how does this event fit into that? What are those key messages that you really need to get across to each person during that event?
Okay, that's really good. I love that the outcome is right at the top of the list, because I think you just nailed it. We want everyone to feel good and have a good time, and we have this sort of desire to do that. But actually, what are we getting out of it? Are we batching content? Are we training our team? Are we selling a new service that we're doing? And getting your team to be focused on that is primary, right?
I think often people put on events and they think, oh, it's nice to have a client night. But there's no actual, if you're selling product, are we selling services? Are we bringing friends along? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, for sure. And then you also said about utilizing the strength of your team members. I love that, because I think we forget sometimes that we hold so much as a salon owner, we hold so much responsibility, we forget to share it because we feel like we're sharing a burden. But in fact, when we share and utilize people's strengths, we're actually connecting them more to us and to the brand. It's not a burden, and we should share that more. So I love that. You know, you were really clear about share this with your team. Don't do it alone. get them involved. People want to be part of something that's bigger, right?
And yeah, totally. And it gives them accountability. Like what I've found over, you know, the biggest lessons I really learned launching Colour Me for Kevin Murphy was to really help your team to grow and flourish and then let them go, because you can only achieve so much as one person. And the more people who flourish, the better your business will be. So, your team's everything, and without a good team you can't have that flexibility and to do whatever it is that you know you want, and you can't be everything to everyone. And so I think having a great team and also involving them, and you know, young people today want to also make decisions which they need to be a part of, but a lot of them have got much better ideas, I find, than maybe me or you. And you don't have to be the person who has all of the good ideas, but when those younger people have them, help them to achieve and to actually bring those ideas to life. And I feel like you'll make either your event, your salon, whatever it is, a lot more successful.
I 100% agree, because I think often the business owner becomes the bottleneck, because we think we have to have all the answers, or we think we have to do all the actions, and it just becomes a heavy weight. And instead, what you're saying is support them with their ideas to make good decisions, because sometimes they don't have the experience that we do.
No, exactly.
We can't help them develop their ideas into the reality or to fit the brand culture or whatever it is that... So it's working with them and coaching them along.
And I think it's a lot more exciting when you grow people like that as well, when they're so much more grateful because they're now achieving things that they never knew were possible.
And this is how you get growth. You get out of the way, because you can't grow your business on your own. If you're wondering why your business isn't growing, it's probably because you're holding on to too many things.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. And you might be better at it than just... No, you don't have, it doesn't matter like what's critical and what's not critical, to say, okay, they're at the point that this is good enough and it's going to really help them and grow and be a part of this business. Yeah. And that's good.
Yeah. We have to let go of our egos a little bit to do that.
Yeah, completely.
Hey, you did touch on culture and brand, and I just love that Kevin Murphy has fashion, performance, and then choices. How can, like, I often find that from inside your own business, it's really hard to articulate sometimes what is your culture, what is your brand. Any thoughts on helping owners? You know, because I think what's great about yours is it's simple. You've got three really clear things that you focus on, and you obviously overlay that on everything that you do. How can a salon owner think about, how can I think what is my culture, my brand, in terms of developing these events?
Well, I think often is the people that you want to attract. So who's the client that you want to come into your business? Because, you know, each salon has particular strengths. And, you know, I look at certain salons in America, I feel like it can be quite diverse. But, you know, in Australia, there's some big salons in New Zealand that maybe are known for balayage, and they do one particular type of work, and people know they'll go in there, they'll pay top dollar, and that's what they'll get. And so they've built these cultures off real simple sort of color balayage work. And so other salons are driven by environment and recycling and attracting those little bit more alternative people. Or, you know, our colors, PPD free, ammonia free, is building that sort of client base of those clients who are really focused on what they're putting on their skin and body. And so I think ultimately when you open a salon or you have a business, just knowing what those sort of key things that are important to you. So when you're making decisions like what brand you want to go with, whether it's Weller or Kevin Murphy or L'Oreal, you know, do they align with what you believe in as a business? Because, you know, you want to work with someone who's similar and like-minded, otherwise it's tricky. And so just making sure that you understand what those things are. And then also in your business, like the culture of it, we have, whether it's you rent chairs, don't rent chairs, you know, how does that look and what can those people do in their spare time? I feel like there's so many different sort of things that fit into your culture that just really need to be crystal before you sort of when you make decisions, really.
So it's putting that, it's keeping that, those key points, your cultural points, in front of you each time you do anything, whether it's an event or make a buying decision or an employment decision.
Yeah, exactly. For us, you can get some really talented people, but if they don't fit the team and the culture of the team, maybe their ego's too big and, you know, it's not going to fly with the rest of the team. So you can be as skilled as you want, but you're a person who needs to work by yourself, not in our team. So those decisions on what are those core things and that people should have and should that the business is about.
Okay, so many great things. All right, Kate, you must have a quote or a mantra or something that keeps you sane or keeps you motivated. What can you share with us?
That's quite funny. As a kid, my mum always said, and she used to always repeat it, she used to say, you've got to teach someone to fish. You can't just give them a fish. And I think that's one of the biggest things is, you know, sometimes it's easier to do things yourself because it's quicker. But, you know, if you're building a business or a salon or you're working with people, you really need to grow them to be able to sort of save yourself. And then the other thing I really love and quote is, you know, it takes a lifetime to be an overnight success. And I look at, like, this year was the third year I was a finalist in the AHFA Awards for Educator of the Year. I won last year and I've been a finalist two other years. And, you know, for me, it was 22 years of work to kind of land into that position. So, you know, it's often easy to look around and to think, oh, wow, they've got it good or I want that. But, you know, what goes behind these people is so much work and a lifetime of commitment and just really understanding that success doesn't happen overnight and it's that constant drive and push to, you know, achieve whatever it is that you really want and really not to give up on it because, you know, nothing happens overnight.
And in this instant social media world, it certainly looks like it does, and it's a false economy.
Well, it can't last, you know. It is. It's exactly right.
All right. What is a book or a webinar or something that has been super useful for you that you can share with us that we need to read or listen to?
So to be honest, I sort of cross across all platforms. I would subscribe to a channel called Masters of Balayage recently. And, you know, I would get on there and they'd watch their podcasts. Last week I went to an education seminar with Jay Edwards in Los Angeles. That was quite fun. And, you know, often a few months ago I went to a different seminar, flew up to Seattle. I just think whatever it is, you know, however long you've been doing hair for, you can never stop learning. And to just attend stuff, go watch it, give it time. So I think, you know, never, I don't really get stuck in sort of one box of, you know, webinars, but I just try and attend or, you know, watch online live education, which you can do whenever you want. So, yeah, I think constantly just being aware to stay involved, grow yourself. And the industry's changed. Like when I first started hairdressing, people were just starting to foil. Balayage didn't exist. So, you know, I just think you never know everything and everything's moving so fast and technology of products is moving so fast. So just stay engaged.
Yes, good advice. All right. I know people are going to come and want to stalk you and find out more about you. So please share us your dub and your socials.
Okay. My Instagram is Hair Fashion Styler. So hair and fashion and styler, all one word. And then I've also got a YouTube channel, which is Hair Fashion Styler by Kate Reed, which is a lot of my and Kevin Murphy education content. And then the next one would be my Facebook page, which is Hair Fashion Styler by Kate Reed. So, you know, as talking about before, I try and stay engaged as I can and connected with people. And I feel like having all of those really cool networks is a great way to stay connected. And, you know, I've been living in LA for 5.5 years, but I feel so connected with the Australian hairdressing community, and I'm about to move back. And, you know, New Zealand, I used to look after New Zealand when I worked at Wella. And I feel like to keep those constant connections, you really just need to reach out to people all the time through those digital forums.
That's awesome. Well, that was your invitation to reach out to Kate. So make sure you do that. All right. Well, look, thank you so much for sharing your years of wisdom. And there was lots of gold in that conversation. I know there's lots of takeaways for you that's listening. So thank you again, Kate, for joining me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Okay, and that's a wrap for today. Thank you again so much, Kate, for joining me on this episode. And I hope that our chat has inspired you to perhaps step out of your comfort zone and start to think of new ways that you can get yourself and your team engaged in the industry. Both hosting and attending events are such an amazing opportunity that we all have available to us, whether it's online, in person, not only to continue our education, but also allow us to create more connections within the wider industry, directly with our clients, or even with and for our team. So I would absolutely love to hear about any events that you've attended. What's good? What's worked? What do you recommend? Or have maybe you've even hosted? Come over to the Salon Owners Collective group and let me know what and where are the best events happening in the industry, and why we should be all attending them. Leave the link in your post so we can all get amongst it. I'll leave the link to the group in the show notes of this episode. Otherwise, search on Facebook, Salon Owners Collective. And thank you again, Kate, for joining me this week. And thank you for tuning in. And I will see you next time to talk about more ways to create more freedom, more profit in your business.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes. Or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.